Hi, and welcome to Emerging Markets Today. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Ana Paula Picasso. Do you want to know more how blockchain is helping developing countries? So here's an episode for you, even if you are not too familiar with the blockchain technology. I spoke to Espen Kaviland. He's the CEO of Wakandi, a company bringing payment solutions for the unbanked in sub-Saharan Africa.
It's easy to think that you have to go into Africa and make a revolution out of everything. That's not necessarily the easiest way of going live. So we have chosen a strategy where we build our solution on top of the banking system, on top of the mobile network operators that is already there.
And this is not a technical conversation. We concentrated more on the social aspects. I originally recorded this episode for my other podcast, Blockchain Beat. So if you guys want to check it out, just go to Blockchain Beat, B-I-T, in any podcasting platform. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I definitely learned a lot myself about Tanzania and its neighboring countries. And also, don't forget to check out Emerging Markets Today or follow us on Twitter at Today Emerging. And don't forget to follow this podcast in any of your favorite podcast platforms. Hi, Espen. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long and hectic day. I started very early today, and I'll two more meetings after you. So,
where are you based now? Where are you calling from right now?
I'm in Norway, in the southeastern part of Norway.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we have snow and very wet and cold weather. So Sunday I'm going back to the heat in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania.
And here in Sweden, I'm actually on the north part of Sweden now for a few months, and it's minus 15. It's a lot of snow. There is a weather warning.
Yeah, but that's the way we like. That's why we like the Nordics.
True. So yeah, no, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. And one of the reasons, or the reasons I wanted to speak to you, was basically two things. First, I'd like to you to tell us more about private blockchains, and also how blockchain is helping and solving problems with payments, especially in developing countries like Tanzania. Shall we just start with the basics? What is a private blockchain?
Yeah, so most people have heard about what we call public blockchains, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and such. Stellar, Ripple, all of them are what we call public blockchains. And most of them are what we call permissionless blockchain as well, which means that they're kind of you just have a public key, and if you know the public key, you can see all the transactions. When it comes to private blockchains, I prefer to call them distributed ledger technology or DLTs, but most of them are what we call private and permissioned. Meaning that they're not accessible just for anyone to go in and have a look at transactions. And in my opinion, and I know a lot of people disagree with me on this one, but in my opinion, that makes them a better fit for a lot of the financial industry today. Because it's not like anyone should see everything in a blockchain. And yes, I know there's a lot of solution on it, on the public part as well. But as it stands today, for the use case that we have in Africa, in the three countries we are working for now, we see that there's no way we could do this with a public blockchain today. But it's important for me to say that I've done multiple projects on a public blockchain, and I'm hoping that some point in the future we might migrate or integrate or do something more on the public part of it, because I totally believe in this kind of technology.
I just want to go back to what you said about private blockchains. Why are they better in the case of Tanzania, for instance, or other developing countries, other African countries?
For example, for Tanzania, it wouldn't be very demanding to do a project like we're doing on a public blockchain, especially because a lot of the data that we store are not allowed to leave the borders, meaning that we have to host certain part of the financial data has to be hosted within Tanzania. So building this on a distributed ledger makes a lot of sense because in other areas, like the primary site has to be in Tanzania and secondary site are allowed to be in some cloud solution. So that, like the current setup we have, we have the primary site and as well as well, it's a distributed ledger, so we don't really call it primary site and secondary site. But in terms of having a language that that the regulator can mm-hmm. Can relate to, we call it primary site. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's just nodes in the network. But it's a primary site in terms of that we are hitting a local API, local IP addresses, and we distribute some of that data into other parts of our network. So that opens up for a lot of interesting opportunities as well for looking at data sharing, between, for example, regulator, for example, private entities, commercial players. So we have a lot of thoughts how we can utilize this way of storing data in the future. And doing something like that on a public blockchain would be very hard in terms of legislation. Mm-hmm. In terms of the regulator, how they will look at it. But if we, for example, if you look at Nigeria, it would have been different again, because in Nigeria, cryptocurrency is a big thing. And I'm also hoping that the current trend with the CBDCs will kind of slowly open up, more of the regulator becoming positive on public blockchains, and also heavily driven by what Facebook are planning with their projects. So it's a very exciting space to be in, but right now it makes a lot of sense for us to do it with a distributed ledger.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Tanzania, because I'm from Brazil originally. It's still a large percentage of the population is unbanked, but that's changing slowly. How is like the financial landscape in a country like Tanzania with a very large unbanked population? And also tell us a little bit about the project you guys are working there with Wakandi.
As you correctly are stating, it's a very big population that can't get a bank account. And the numbers are varying a little bit depending on what kind of reports you're listening to, but it's between 15 and 20% of the population can or have a bank account. Okay. or can get it. So it's the reason for it is not straightforward, because part of the reason is that a lot of the very low income population, they cannot afford that yearly fee, because it's a yearly fee related to having a bank account. Mm-hmm. A lot of them cannot do a proper KYC, so they're missing ID and stuff like that. But on the last point, we see that there's a lot of changes in Africa when it comes to national ID solutions. Slowly, people are at least able to do a KYC, so they can do the minimum thing for getting a bank account. But the market in Tanzania, and I would say East Africa in general, is very interesting. And everything started with M-Pesa from Kenya. Yeah, we have to talk about mobile money if you talk about the financial system in East Africa. Even though they don't have a bank account, they have what is known as mobile money. And mobile money is a very interesting phenomenon, because they're using cash and mobile money. That's it. Most of them don't have a Visa card. They don't have a bank account. But they're still able to transfer money to other people using this mobile money thing. And you have all this it's called wakala in Tanzania. There are small stores, small agents standing everywhere on the street. Every 20 meters you in the cities, you have one of these wakalas. So they are kind of providing their basic financial services, the basic banking services through this kind of network. But the trends has been for many years that they are just going to a Wakala and sending money and going into cash again. So the money didn't really stay in this system. It's just cash in, cash out. So these mobile network operators that are offering the service of mobile money, they have their profit has been increasing for many years. But now we see a very interesting trend. We are seeing that more and more products, like more value-added products, I would say, are being offered on top of this mobile money thing. And that's where also we are positioning ourselves. We are providing this infrastructure that is based on a distributed ledger. And we will, in the coming year, we will go live with our first product, which is called Credit Association Management System. So we are going live with a product that helps a very specific group of people in Sub-Saharan Africa.
With Wakandi.
Yes, with Wakandi. So Wakandi Comes is the first product, and the product are targeting what we call informal financial groups. So that they're kind of like, they're spanning from the very, very small village group that, just a group of people goes together and they save money together and you can borrow money from the group again, to huge, huge groups that have thousands and thousands of members. And, traditionally, this is how banking or banking looking alike services has been offered in many of these countries in Sub-Saharan Africa. So that's the first group of people we are targeting in the first release for Wakandi. In East Africa, we've been working with Rwanda and Tanzania.
Okay.
Rwanda has, it's a very exciting country for us. But because of this COVID situation in Africa, they're locked down the borders. So we had to prioritize based on where we could travel during the last 6 months. So we kind of been able to keep on pushing, even though obviously the pandemic has is creating some challenges for us when it comes to traveling. But so in East Africa, Tanzania, Rwanda are very high on our list. We have interest from so many countries. It's crazy to see all people that want us to launch in their country. So in West, we are very, very firm on going live in Ghana. We have been there multiple times. We're talking with the regulator. We're talking with commercial partners. We're talking with the political people. Gambia, very small country in West Africa, is one of the countries that will go live now this year. Tanzania, Gambia, and South Africa are the three countries that we are trying to go live with this year. And we have picked those three countries for very specific reasons. If you look at the informal economy in the countries in Sub-Saharan Africa, Nigeria and Tanzania are on one end of the scale, and South Africa is on the complete other end of the scale. And that's the size of the informal economy, compared to the GDP of the country. So it's very interesting for us to test these two markets, like Tanzania and South Africa, in that relation.
But you said Tanzania and Nigeria are in one end of the spectrum. So there is, and South Africa is in the other end. In what way is South Africa has a lower percentage of informal workers, or the other way around?
South Africa has, the informal economy compared to GDP is on the better end of the scale in Africa. But Nigeria and Tanzania has very big informal economy. So we wanted to test our system in those two markets, because we believe at least then we know that it can work in those two very different market conditions. And we're going live in Gambia because it's a rather small country. It's fast moving. A lot of other Western African countries are looking at Gambia as a perfect place to start with in West Africa, So that's why we ended up on those three countries. And we're just now in January finalizing the next three countries that we will go live in. We want to scale this thing and we want to move fast.
So. I hope you guys do because it is very interesting for me to see how these other emerging countries, emerging economies, work with financial inclusion and different projects that are moving away from the mainstream financial institutions. Let's say I am an informal worker. I live in Tanzania. I want to pay for something or want to send money to someone else that is in another place, in another town, a family member, friend. How would that go about? Mm. And what Candy can offer or is offering there already to make it that process easier?
Today, if you're sending money to someone else, you take your cash and you go to one of these wakala that I was talking about, and you give the phone number of, you know, the people that you want to send to, and they get some reference number and they take that code to another wakala and they take out they get cash for it. So the market that we are going into is not purely sending money to person to person. Mm-hmm. We are targeting those groups. So let me give you an example on because we have onboarded quite a few members already that are waiting for us to go live. One of them are based in the Kagera region. It's very close to Lake Victoria, so I've been there a couple of times. And today, it's working like people physically come to their office and they apply for a loan. And there's a manual process, highly manual to how they process that loan application. And let's say that the loan application is accepted. These guys, they have to travel into one bank once per week. And usually that's Fridays. And they spend hours lining up to pay back on that that loan they have. So what we have done with our first application on Wakande is that we make it possible so you can just go to one wakala and you pay back on your loan. So for the member, for the citizens of Tanzania, because this kind of loans, this kind of financing is for the majority, that's the only access to credit they have. So we interviewed a lot of people. One guy, he started his garage. He was, you know, he was more than 10 employees now. He done this by taking three of these loans and paying back. And as he said, you know, every Friday he spent entire day traveling into the city and paying back on the weekly down payment and interest on the loan. So we automate that. You can just use your mobile phone to pay back, and you use your mobile phone to get the loan. So it's convenient for and much easier and much faster. And very, very transparent since we're using this kind of technology. For the groups, we are giving them an extremely good audit and audit trail, and also improving the governance for the group because it has been so much fraud in this market. You won't believe it. So many people have, you know, run off with money. They have given out loans to family members. They have done. There's so much fraud episodes been happening during the years. So when the group have implemented our system, everything is more transparent. Everything is more easy for an auditor to come in and look at the audit trail. So it's a solution that really helps them a lot.
So I have a question. I think it's twofold. So it's two questions in one. How is the mobile phone penetration in a country like Tanzania? And also, what's the relationship between the telecoms, the mobile phone operators, with the financial institutions?
Yeah, great question. So, we start with the penetration,
yes,
it's like cheap Android phones has, you know, totally changed the landscape. in sub-Saharan Africa. And like I quote, everyone has a smartphone today. That's not necessarily true, but GSMA is an organization that is tracking such statistics. And they're saying that, you know, within 4 years now, they expect 60% of the population in sub-Saharan Africa to have a smartphone.
Oh, wow, that's quite high.
It is, and it's very high. But for now, a lot of them are using what we call a feature phone. That's kind of a thing. It's not just these old just keypads. So they have kind of a screen, but not a fully smartphone. So when we talk about how you access services in these markets, there is something very strange there, especially for us coming from Europe. They're using something called USSD codes. So our products also support that. That means that if I'm going to, let's say I'm going to send money and pay, you know, doing a down payment on my loan, I can use this, the mobile phone app. If I'm having an Android, that is a smartphone. We have an iOS app, but I can also use just any phone, any mobile phone, and enter a series of digits, like a star, you know, 150 star and such. And that those codes, they're kind of system SMSs. They trigger certain functionalities in our system. So they have kind of made a workaround on how you can use old fashioned phones to access different services. And in Tanzania, we see everything from hotel booking to a lot of services being offered in this way. And when I first started there, I thought, oh, this is so old-fashioned and so hard to use, but it's kind of really fast when you get to know it. So we decided to just make it a part of our offering to also support those kind of codes. So the penetration of mobile phones in general is very high. Smartphones are quite high and growing fast, but feature phones make it kind of the gap and make it possible for most of the users to use comms at least.
Just going back to what you said, for someone to go and pay the weekly installments, the payment for the loans, so they can pay with their feature phones, if they only have a feature phone, and it works fine through Wakandi.
Absolutely. So that's been a very important feature for us to support. The different second part of your question, that's a big one for us because, you know, the market is there. There are mobile network operators there. There are banks there. They have a role to play. So we've been kind of doing this as, I would say it's kind of like an incremental innovation. To go into this kind of markets with something brand new, it's hard. You have to take... There's a narrative there already. There are, you know, they have a relation to the mobile network operator. They know about certain products in the market. So it's really important for us to build on top of what is already there. It's easy to think that you have to go into Africa and make a revolution out of everything. That's not necessarily the easiest way of going live. So we have chosen a strategy where we build our solution on top of the banking system, on top of the mobile network operators that is already there, and trying as much as possible to fit into some kind of regulatory box, so they don't need to figure out a new kind of regulation for us to go live. That's been really important, and I had a lot of great meeting with various regulators. I met with a lot of central banks in the different countries that we've been looking at. And in some countries, we do need a license. In other countries, we are just welcomed and please launch and, you know, keep us in the loop and you might be licensed later. So it's very different looking at the different countries there. But we have to build on top of what's there. Yeah.
I see. Yeah, what regulations, there's a lot of... there's a lot to catch up with that as well. Maybe it's a whole new episode, just talk about regulations in different countries.
True. That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah, even here in Europe, it's always a hot topic how different countries deal with.
Yeah, well, at least in Europe, we have like a uniform. At least we have a uniform, regulatory framework because of EU. Yes. But you don't have anything like that in Africa. It's like you have to do a legal memo for every country. You have to talk with the regulator, and you have to kind of start on scratch every time. So yeah.
So Espen, now I'd like to talk to you about your journey into blockchain. Yeah. So how did you start it, and when Wakandi came about?
Yeah. So my background is originally I'm a software developer. And in 2009, I started a company called Akeo. Akeo is today one of the leading blockchain developers in Norway, where the company has been doing a lot of interesting blockchain projects. And then, about 3 years ago, we had an idea together with the other founders that there might be something with blockchain and banks. Was the kind of original idea that we had with Wakandi. At the time, the company was called Ledge Farm. So the project was kind of born inside of Akeo, but very soon we met one of the other founders. He's a Tanzanian living in Norway. Sele Mduda, he's been, he really introduced us for the problems that that Tanzania and Africa, a lot of African countries, are facing. And when we realized how big this market is and the opportunities, we kind of left the original idea and decided to only focus on Africa in our undertaking. So, 1.5 years ago, I left Akeo and started working full time for Wakandi. So today we have a very clear strategy. We are done with the main network, meaning that we are just taking it live now. We are doing the pilots. We are doing the testing, the final testing. We'll spend some month on that, and after that, it's just a matter of scaling this thing. It's just a matter of identifying different applications that will make sense for us to launch. So we kind of have two approaches. One is the Wakandi core. That's the network. That's the DLT solution. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to launch different applications on top of it. So that's the go-to-market strategy. We are looking into agriculture as a very interesting area for us. We're looking into tourism, but we're starting with this informal financial groups that is huge. Mm-hmm. Just in South Africa, there are more than 800,000 groups. So it's a huge, huge, huge thing in Africa.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see Wakandi growing in the next few years? Are you guys going to concentrate in Africa, or do you guys have planned to go to South America, for instance, or Asia, or other parts of the world?
Yeah. Well, we do have some countries to cover in sub-Saharan Africa for now, but we're really also looking at South America, as you're referring to. It's a lot of the market conditions, I would say, is quite similar. We think a lot of the application would work in that market as well. There are other parts of the world where you also have this kind of same setup with these groups, with this kind of doing agriculture, especially when we are talking about that. So we are really looking at sub-Saharan Africa, but we have our eyes and we keep looking at as South America as well. But if we talk about 3 to 5 years, I think we, at least for 3 years, we have enough with scaling up in sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys do. I'm sure. I think Africa is a huge opportunity in many aspects, especially in the financial sector. And hopefully with blockchain or distributed ledger technologies.
Yeah, and you know, it's very important for me to say that, you know, we are extremely positive to blockchain and public blockchains, but it's just, I think it makes sense for us to be some kind of also like a bridge. So we are looking very much into how, for example, can we use Stellar or Ripple? How can we position ourselves now to, because we expect public blockchains to be more accepted in the African market, and especially when you look at what Facebook are planning to do. So it's not like we are saying that, you know, private blockchain are so much better than public blockchains. It's not that at all. It's just that setup, sure, that kind of storing data today makes a lot of sense for us, and it's a good start. But we are very much looking into how we can be a bridge between that private network and the public blockchain space. So we are very much interested in that for the future.
Yeah, so if someone wants to know more about Wakandi, Espen, where do they go?
We are very active on LinkedIn, so you should absolutely go in on LinkedIn and follow
Wakandi
us there.
With W?
W, yes, and yeah. Wakandi.com, also it's where you can read more about us. So feel free to reach out. We love to talk with different players in the industry, and if you have a project that you think might make sense for us to do something together within the future, we are very open to partnerships. So feel free to reach out to us, and we love to talk about what we do.
Great.
And it's also great to do something good in the world, and we are really trying to do that.
Yeah, I would definitely put all the links in the description, the website, wakandi.com, Wakandi with W, and yourself as well, your LinkedIn profile. And so good luck for you guys in Africa. You know, maybe one day you guys are going to go to South America as well.
I hope so, and I will absolutely let you know. And thank you very much for having me.
Welcome.